Let's take our Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Luke. We'll begin by pointing out one verse in the text. And then we'll come back and read it. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Glad everybody made it through the weather, the rain. You know, I moved to Alabama to find out how to tell the weather. Yeah, they got a surefire way. I don't even have to turn the TV on. What you do is you get you a flat rock and lay it out in front of your door, out there in the yard. You get up in the morning and walk out there. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's dry, it ain't raining. If it's kind of white, it may be snowing a little bit. And if it ain't there, it's missing. You better head to your shelter. Something's bloated away. So that's a pretty good way to tell the weather. And so I'm glad you have made it. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad God so worked it back to where his people could be together. I realized in a fuller sense after this virus how much I needed you more than you needed me and how much we need each other. And I'm glad God has allowed us to be able to come back together like this. I thank him for it. We're going to read verse number 17, the story of the prodigal who has gone into the far country. Luke 15. Made his rounds and he comes to himself. There's one word that I'm interested in. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread?" And here's my word, enough. "And to spare, and I perish with hunger." This is one of those 40 some odd parables that Jesus told. Earthly stories with heavenly meanings. The word parable simply means to take objects and lay them down. With emphasis, it actually means to throw down. Make a comparison to see what there is in one that you can see reflections of in the other. And what Jesus does in all of those parables is he reaches out and grabs worlds that are so far apart and lays them down. Four of them. And these four worlds are found in every parable. Look at them. The first thing that he'll speak about is the natural. It'll have something to do with where you're at. Have something to do with the physical. That which you are born into. He comes to us in these parables. On our level, speaking our language. So that when he spoke about a sheep, they knew what a sheep was. He spoke about a rock, they knew what a rock was. There's no science fictions and ETs and all that other stuff. True to life stories. There's not only the world of the natural, there is the world of the spiritual. Because it is in this world that he wants to reveal to us that there's another world. There's more to it than what you're seeing. When he spoke of that natural birth, he wanted you to see that heavenly birth. When he spoke of the wind, he wanted you to see the Holy Ghost. When he spoke of the water, he wanted you to see the Word of God. When he spoke of the S-U-N, he wanted you to see the S-O-N. When he spoke of the sparrow, he wanted you to see the Father. When he spoke of the lilies, he wanted you to see the Father. Everything Jesus saw in the natural had a spiritual aspect to it. The DNA was in both of them that was the same. And I'm glad that it was in this world I found out that there was another world. It was on earth that I was introduced to heaven. There was the natural, there was within each one the spiritual. But thirdly, there was the individual world or the personal world. The thing that makes this revelation of parables that he gives to us so that we might see what we would never be able to see if he didn't show us is the fact that within each parable, you will be able to find yourself. That's what makes it applicable. That's what makes it real to your life. You're either the prodigal son that has gone into the far country, the prodigal son that has come to his senses and back home, or the elder brother that's mad about everything, or you have built your house on the sand and you realize you should have built it upon the rock. In other words, you're going to see yourself in. If you don't see yourself in it, then it's no good to you. And the last thing in each parable, of course, is the eternal God is standing somewhere in that parable saying, hey, I've got you in here for one reason. I want you to see me. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and sometimes all three in those parables as you read them so that he might reveal to you in your world him and himself. In each one of these parables, waving his hand, I say, and saying to you, look, I am here. There is a sense, get this now, in which we are all short stories. And we are all, our lives are parables within themselves. But honey, what he wants to do is come into your short story and into your parable right where you're at and what you're going through and put heavenly meaning into it. And show you that there's more to it than what you're seeing, hallelujah. And he is there. I love it, don't you? Of course, we noticed how that in one of the parables, he showed them his grace. Now, you may not see it, but his grace is all around you. But if you don't see it and miss it, you're going to be miserable and feel like you're last. You're going to be mad all the time. You're going to feel like you got cheated. And then we looked last night at that treasure. Oh, the abundance of that treasure. Which is Christ. He is our treasure. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. But the scripture said that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Thing about it is, if the treasure ever gets in you, you'll be able to live out of it. But it's got to get in there first. But I want to take a step further, and I want to look at this parable with this thought of which what the Lord is doing in this parable is he wants to show us this great truth of the fact that he is enough. He wants this boy to know. Now this boy thinks he's going into a far country. But God has something else in mind. He's got a spinning wheel. It's in this text. I call it the spinning wheel of getting you back to where you realize that he is enough. God's fixing to take him on a ride in this parable to bring him to the realization of who he is, the Father. Now this can be so for a sinner who's never realized who the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But this could be for a child of God. That you're living in a time or a place in your world to where you're taking things for granted. And somehow you've gotten to the place to where he's not enough. Oh, I remember a gentleman several years ago sharing with me. He said, "Preacher," said, "we had a storm in this area a few months back. And the power was off for so many hours till the next morning or whatever." And he said, "You know how that by habit you always flip that switch? Now you know the power's off. There is no juice, but have we not all done it? Flip the switch. Taking for granted that the power's going, the lights are going to." But he said, "You know, for that day, I didn't have any hot water to take a shower. Didn't have any hot water to do the, I mean, you need power for so much that you don't realize till you don't have power." He said, "I began to realize how I had taken just that one thing for granted." Every time, he said, "I'd go in there and think I was going to do something. I'd flip a light." He said, "I've done it, I don't know how many times." But he said, "They told us, they let the word out that the power was going to come on at a certain time." He said, "I couldn't wait." He said, "I stood by that switch until that time came." And he said, "It was an experience to reach over and flip the switch." He said, "I did not realize how I had taken again even the lights for granted or the power for granted." But God, in a little way, put him on a spinning wheel to bring him around to let him know what he has supplied him. God bringing us to the place to again, we can say, "Lord, you are enough." Now, I want to jump on this spinning wheel, and I want to ride it. I've rode it before. You may be on it right now, of where the Father is taking you to where he is enough. Now, let's go back and scoot down through the text for the sake of someone that may not know this parable. Verse number 11, if you will. He said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. When he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want us to notice again in verse number 17, this word enough. What a revelation you could tell that was to his heart. Obviously, he'd never felt that way before. But the light came on. He said, oh, I know where there is enough. Because God had put him, listen to me, young people, he's got a spinning wheel for you. Ma'am, he's got a spinning wheel. Sir, he's got a preacher, he's got a spinning wheel for us. He intends on getting us to the place to where we can see. We must see that he is enough. And that in him doth all the fullness dwell. So let's jump on the spinning wheel of enough, if you will. First of all, in this text, when we pick up with the prodigal son, we see in his attitude that nothing is good enough. Now, I don't know what has happened to bring him to this place of unthankfulness, ungratefulness, and ingratitude. But he is very dissatisfied. He's in a place of love. He's in a place of security. He's in a place of plenty. He is at home. He's on the farm where the father is, a part of the family, eating the food and in good favor. But somehow it's gotten to the place to where it's not good enough. The very abundance of which he's been overwhelmed with his whole life means nothing to him anymore. Now, he's thinking about a far country. But I'm going to tell you something. When you look at him, what you can tell is, though he's at home, he's already gone. Because the far country will get into you long before you get into the far country. All it takes is one desire. All it takes is one attitude. It takes a spirit of being dissatisfied and unappreciative of what God has given you. You are in danger, can I say to you? When you look into the eyes of that wife and she doesn't mean to you what she used to mean, or into the eyes of that husband and he don't overwhelm you like he used to, and somehow you come to the place to where you're taking it all for granted. One preacher said that ingratitude opens up the door to a world of sin. This is exactly where he's at. He's got the world, the far world country in his heart. He's got it in his head. He's got it in his hands. He is captivated by the far country because of his ingratitude. I'm telling you, when we find this old boy, nothing, absolutely nothing is good enough. And I ask you something tonight, how do you feel about where you're at? How do you feel about what you've got? How do you feel about what God has placed in your life? This spirit of ingratitude. He's in the best place he could ever be, thinking about the worst place he could ever go. He's on the spinning wheel. It's too late now. Once you get the spirit of ingratitude, you're already on the wheel. And it's fixing to spin on you. We pick up with him and we find that nothing is good enough. And then we follow down in verse number 12 while he's standing in the living room talking to his father demanding that he give him his portion. That he's on this spinning wheel, he doesn't know it. He's moved from nothing is good enough to he can't get enough. He's got his hand out, saying to his father, you give me what I am owed. You give to me my portion. It is the spirit, of course, of entitlement. He is arrogant. He is proud. He is, as I say, demanding. But you know, the scripture said the father gave him what he asked for and he spent it all. Now, all is all you can spend because that's all you got. He spent it all, but I'm going to tell you something. He spent it all, but he really had nothing because none of that was his. Everything he took into the far country had been invested in him. Whether it was his money, whether it was his mind, whether it was his body, it was totally a gift to him. And he went and spent it all. I don't want to spend. I don't want to take for granted what God has given me. I don't want to spend it all. He spent it all, but he really had nothing. And then to cap it, he spent it all on nothing. He came out of the far country. He took so much in and he brought nothing back out. You say, why? He's on the spinning wheel. He begins with nothing is good enough. And now he can't get enough. Listen to me, young people. Be thankful for everything that your parents provide you with. And the moment that you think you deserve more and you're upset because they're not giving you, you think, what you ought to get or what somebody else is getting, what's going to happen is God's fixing to spin you around. And I'm going to tell you, you get on that spinning wheel, you're going to end up confused. That's what it's going to do to you. Because nothing's good enough. That breakfast you eat's not good enough. That dinner's not good enough. That bed's not good enough. All the provisions are not good enough. And then with the same breath, you're demanding and can't get enough. That's where America's at right now. They're cultivating that. Put your hand out and tell everybody, you owe me. On the spinning wheel, I say, he begins, I'm telling you, in this spirit and attitude of ingratitude. Nothing's good enough. And now he can't get enough. But understand, God's spinning him. Then I notice as that spinning wheel turns, he comes to the place to where he thinks he is enough. He's going into a country that he's never been to before in his life. He has no idea what is going to transpire when he gets there. All he thinks he knows is that he's got a pocket full of money. And he's got a great personality. He can make friends. And he can make it no matter where he goes. He don't need the father anymore. He don't need home anymore. He don't want nobody breathing down his neck and giving him advice anymore. This is his world and he's gonna live it and he's big enough and old enough to do it. I called a young man and tell me, I was young myself, and I thought he was ignorant. Younger than him. Said, I'll tell you right now, I had my birthday. I had my birthday this week and said, I turned 18 and said, I went in the store and somebody called me a young man. Said, I rebuked him and said, I want you to know I'm a man now. I'm 18. Really? It don't sound like it. The Bible said he gathered all together. For the first time in his life, he's headed into a country and he thinks he's got it all together. Just at that point in time in which you think you've got it all together, honey, you're going to get surprised on that spinning wheel. He thinks that he is enough. Now, once he gets into the far country, and I want you to understand this. Once you get to this point to where you think you are enough, there's no hope for you.
Well, listen.
No hope.
Listen.
I'm here to tell you, this young man is in a place and in a condition as far as his spirit is concerned. I'm going to tell you, notice how I word this. Naturally speaking, humanly speaking, he ain't ever coming out of there. He will never come back. You say, well, why? Well, look around. Don't you know of children and neighbors' children that you've heard them express, there is almost no hope. The drugs and the alcohol and all of that, they've been caught in the vice and the machine of that far country. He's not coming back. He doesn't have any desire to come back. He doesn't go into that far country and open up two bank accounts and say, now, I'm going to blow this one, but in case I don't like it down here and need to go back home, I want to keep this one aside. No, he goes into the far country determined that he will never, ever. Hey, when you walk out, it's not because you're going to turn around. You have no thought of ever turning around coming back. You're going as far as you can go. You couldn't pull this boy out of there. You couldn't push this boy out of there. You couldn't preach this boy out of there. He ain't coming back. I'm going to say this to all of us parents. You sure couldn't pay him and bring him out of there. Financing the boy in the far country is not the answer.
No, sir.
It won't cause him to turn from his sin and his vices and his habits. He is there to stay because he thinks that he is enough. And there's nothing about that world that's going to point. This world is not set up to tell you that there is a father and there is a home. When he gets into that far country, there's no street or highway that points back toward the house. Nobody there. He can't go to the psychiatrist when he gets all confused because he's on the spinning wheel. There ain't no psychiatrist that's going to set him down and say, son, what's wrong with you? You got trouble in your past. If you got a father, y'all ain't getting along. They ain't going to mention the father.
Amen.
This world doesn't want you to know that there's a heaven. Does not want you to know that there is a Redeemer. Does not want you to know that there is the Word of God. This world doesn't want, they have tried to take it and they have tried to hide it because they don't want you to know about it. This world's not going to point you toward home. He's not coming back. No indication there. He'll ever be back. There is no hope. Can't get him out of there. Why? Because he's already determined he's enough. I'm telling you, when we find him, nothing is good enough. And then he can't get enough. And then he thinks that he is enough. But you know, the flip side of that matter of him not coming out of there. I'm saying humanly speaking, educationally speaking, monetarily speaking, religiously speaking, he ain't coming out. But I want to say to you, nothing's good enough. He can't get enough. He thinks he is enough. And then God shows up. You know, we think about all the bad that's in the far country, and we preach about it. We preach about his friends in the far country. We preach about the hogs in the far country. We preach about the wasting of the devil in the far country. But let me tell you, there's somebody else in that far country. You say, who is it? God is in the far country. David said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, there is nowhere God is not. He's in the far country. You say, well, how do you know that God is in the far country? The Bible said there was a famine. Who is it that controls the weather? God turned the water off. When he turned the water off, the fields ceased to produce the seed and the grain, and the cattle couldn't eat, and everybody else is starting to starve. Why? Because God's trying to get this boy's attention. And when he wants to get your attention, he's going to get your attention. Somebody said, I got a boy in the far country. Pray. They tell me it's pretty rough out there. Pray that it'll get. No! We don't want it to get better. We want it to get worse. God is in that far country. Getting his. Now, that I done told you. There was nothing in that far. Left to himself. Hey, your son, your daughter, mine, anybody else, they ain't coming back left to themselves. And left to this world, they're stuck.
Yes.
Nothing in that world said home. Nothing in that world said home. Until God started tearing things apart. And things started getting bad enough. Bad enough. And as a result of that, everything in that world that said nothing about this world started testifying to another country.
Listen, sir.
Huh?
Yeah.
You listen to him talk. That wind that was howling. There are voices that has brought him to this conclusion. That wind coming across that barren land, whirling and twirling, was saying, oom, oom, oom. It's telling him about home. Isn't that something when the Holy Ghost gets to working on you?
Yes,
things begin to speak to you about what he wants to do in your life. He goes to his friends. He's trying to get some help. They said, listen, I'm hungry. I ain't got no money. I spent all mine on y'all. Could you help me? No man gave to him. You know what they said to you? I guarantee you what they said to him. We can't give you. You're not even from around here. Matter of fact, where are you from? He never wanted to tell them that. Where are you from? Ain't you got a family somewhere that can help you? You need to get out here and go home. I was preaching up in Kentucky, and an old boy stood up and testified. He said, I used to run a business here in town, but it was a front. I sold drugs. And he said, God got to deal with me, and he said, I got so miserable. Said, I went by my mother's house and said she was a Christian. And said, I got to tell her, and said, Mom, I don't know what's wrong with me. He said, I'm so depressed. Said, I can't enjoy anything. I am so dead. She said, God's dealing with you. He said, I didn't want to hear that. Said, I just run out of there. Said, on Monday, I went back to my place of business. First guy that came was my number one drug dealer. Said, he walked in, just said our little hellos, and said, he looked at me and said, what in the world's wrong with you? He said, I don't know, I'm miserable. He said, well, I noticed you wasn't at the parties that we've been. Oh, he said, I get sick even going to the party. He said, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do nothing. He said, I'm just miserable. He said, well, what do you think's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. But my mama said God was dealing with him. And he said, the drug dealer looked at him and said, oh, if he's dealing with you, you better do something about that. He said, I figured when my number one drug dealer told me I need to get right with God, I probably need to get right with God. He said, I set it, shut it down, went to the house of God, and God saved. Hallelujah. Everything down there, his friends told him to go home. The wind told him to go home. The old hogs that are down there grunting out. I wish I could grunt like a hog, but that hog was that. Everything's bad. How do you know? Well, listen to what he's saying. He's been hearing from home. He's been on God's spinning wheel. Nothing's good enough. He can't get enough. Thinks he is enough. And God shows up and makes things bad enough.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So bad until he gets low enough. Look at him. He's all the way down there so hungry. He's getting no aid and God ain't even feeding him. And I'm telling you, he's feeding the hogs. And he starts to reach out and grab some of that need. He said, oh. He looked at it and it said home. He said, what am I doing eating this when I can go home? Honey, why do you want to run the spinning wheel? Why do you want to live out there like you live? Why do you want to go through all of that when there's a home? I said before, you couldn't push this boy out. You couldn't preach this boy out. You couldn't pull this boy out. But God's there. You can pray him out. Yeah. You can pray her out because God can get there and speak the language through. I'm talking about the natural. God, everything God said to this boy, he said through the natural, but reminded him there's another world, boy. You know where it's at. I'm glad when he gets our attention, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Everything. Home. Home. The Father's house. Home. He said, I can't take it. You see, nothing's good enough. He can't get enough. He thinks he is enough. God makes things bad enough till he gets low enough. And he's had enough. He said, I'm done with this, boys. I'm done with the far country. I'm done with the friends. I'm done with everything's down here. I'll tell you what. God has brought me to the place. God has brought me to the place. Listen to me now. Nothing's good enough. He can't get enough. He thinks he is enough. God makes things bad enough till he gets low enough and he's had enough and realizes that his Father is all he needs. He's enough. I'm going back to where there's enough. And he gets up and he heads back to the Father's house, where there is more than enough. Now, when he gets back home, he has seen everything that he sees before. All of that was there when he was there before. He's seeing everything that he's seen, but he never saw it. He lived there all those years and never did see the goodness of home and the Father. How good it is. It is possible to live blinded amongst the plenty of God's enough in your life and come to that place to where you become angry and bitter and things not suit you anymore and you start on that spinning wheel. But hey, Preacher, hey missionary, hey evangelist, hey church member. God has a way to get you to the place to where you can see all that there is in him.
Amen, preacher.
Not only that he's God enough, but that he is enough. And he gets back home. And he gets looking around. And said, I don't know why I left this. Man. This was more than enough. See, what will happen is the devil will get you to go out there to find what's already here. You know why he went into the far country? He wanted to party. Live it up.
Listen.
When he got back home, the father said, well, you know, if that's what you're doing, we'll just do that.
Wow.
He said there was what? He come home, honey, and found out there was joy there. There was peace there. There was everything there. He had been favored, thank God. He realized it. He saw it. Said there was music. Baptists won't say this hardly, but it's in the Bible. And dancing. I wondered about that, so I looked up a little Greek. And he told me that it meant music and dancing.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know what that means? Having a good time in the Lord.
Amen, Doc.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can you imagine when he got home and he was sitting at that table just down the road? He was fixing to eat what the hogs eat. And here comes out that great feast. He's seen it many times, but he never saw it. And I can see him sitting across that table, and he looks down at the end. He said, Dad, Father, thank you. I'm so sorry. Goes in there and lays down in that bed in the middle of the night. He hollers out and said, Dad, Father, thank you for this bed. Mama, thank you for these clothes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I never realized how much I had until I was made to ride the spinning wheel and got back to the place that I said, thank God, right where I'm at is enough, and that's where I'm going to stay, and I'm going to thank God for every bed I'm at. Have you ever thought about the things that he's put in your life physically?
Amen.
That's more than enough. If you can see it. Huh? This little wife I preached on the other. She's been more than enough. She came out of the treasure. I did tell y'all that, didn't I?
Amen.
Huh?
Oh, that's great.
For the rest of his days, he lived in the spirit of more than enough. I love to preach to folks that realize he's more than enough. I love to hear people sing out of that more than enough. Don't you? Now, he's got a spinning wheel. If you want to ride. It may be costly, but you can ride it. I heard, and I close with this, about a little girl went to the county fair. They spent all their money and they had enough for either some cotton candy or to ride the merry-go-round. She wanted cotton candy. He wanted the merry-go-round. So finally she gave in and said, all right, spend the money and ride the merry-go-round. Just had enough for him. So he bought the ticket, got on the merry-go-round. You know how them things do. They just go round and round and round and round. Where you got on, you get off. So he rode round and round and round. He could see her every time he come around. She wasn't liking it. She was thinking of that cotton candy. And finally he stopped. And he got off where he got on. And she said, now look at there. You done went and spent all our money and you still ain't went nowhere. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God intends on getting us to the place to where we can praise him for what we've got. That is always. Don't you want to thank him as the songs have been filled with tonight? Oh, he's been more than enough. As I say, there is a sense in which each one of us is a short story. A parable. And what he wants to do is come into your parable and short story and give it a heavenly meaning. Let's stand. I'm going to ask my wife if she will to come and play. Maybe we could just take a moment tonight and let him know how much we appreciate where we're at and what we've got. How blessed we are. And that he is enough. And if he's enough today, he'll be enough for our tomorrows. Lord, thank you for giving me the ride. And bring me back to where I need to be. Because I'll never be the same. Let us thank him tonight.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed.
Oh, listen now.
I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea.
Think about it.
It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Can't you find yourself in that parable? Ain't you been spun around a time or two?
Oh, grace so full and free. I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me. Oh, wonderful salvation. From sin he makes us free. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough for
Hallelujah.
me. Oh, blood of Christ, so precious, poured out on Calvary. Well, I feel its cleansing power, and that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me.
I don't want to go to no far country. Because I'm going to tell you, it's pretty good where I'm at. One more verse, huh? Think about it.
Oh, love surpassing knowledge, oh, grace so full and free. I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me. Oh, wonderful salvation, from sin He makes me free.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I feel that sweet assurance, and that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. Well, I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me.
Did you notice that the Father never said anything to him when he left, and never said anything to him personally straight ahead when he got home? You say, how come? Spinning wheel took care of all that. You get off the spinning wheel, you'll start talking.
Amen.
It'll all be settled.
Kim, you come. Jason, I want you to sing I'd Rather Have Jesus. You know, there are two lost sons in that parable. There.
Oh, yeah.
Two guys on spinning wheels. Confused. One thinking that the world and the hogs would satisfy. You know how I know the elder brother was confused? He is focused on a stupid goat when he could have had a fatty calf himself. You think the father wouldn't let him have a fatty calf? Oh my. You ought to mind the Holy Ghost tonight. I say again from the first note from the word go tonight. There's been a current, there's been a theme in this service. Sing, Brother Jason, you mind the Lord tonight. Worship, weep, pray.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than have riches untold.
You don't have to be from Holly Springs to use these altars. This is the Father's house. You can get help for your heart, your life. You can come home from here. You can get in on the party here. You can get more than enough here.
To be the king. I'd rather. than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king.
He's more than enough. He's more than enough.
Than be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Fairer than lilies in rarest bloom, he's sweeter than honey right out of the comb. He's more than my hungering soul shall need. I'd rather have my Jesus and let him lead them to be the king of a vast domain than be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today.
Play right there a minute. You know, they said, they asked Rockefeller, at that time, richest man on earth, said, "Have you got enough? How much is enough?" He said, "Just a little more." Kings are often miserable, but when you get a hold of that treasure, blessed be his good name. Sing the last verse one more time, just to hair lip the devil and anybody that thinks they've had enough of this service is all right too. Amen. Sing that last verse, Jason.
He's fairer than lilies in red.
You can get off a spinning wheel if you'll just mind him tonight.
He's sweeter than
it's going to pick up pace off.
Right out of
you shuck him and try to shuck him off and disobey.
He's more than my hungering soul shall need. I'd rather than anything this world affords today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. I think I said it this morning, or rather Sunday morning. I know I said it last Wednesday night. If E. Marsh said, any revival apart from the Word of God is like a bottle rocket. It might start out with a big bang, but it falls like a stick. Everybody here is in the parable that was preached tonight. And I'm afraid I do know some moms and dads here tonight. Your young'un is in a far country, or could be down the hallway in another bedroom, but they're still in a far country. Some of you are in the far country tonight. Some of you are here, and you missing out on the party. Oh my, hallelujah. I'm glad God's interested in bringing us in to the picture. Don't you appreciate the faithfulness of the man of God? Amen. Well, I hope and pray you'll be praying for tomorrow's concluding service. And I know those of your mother churches will be in your places. I remind you, 2 o'clock on WWOL, old-fashioned camp meeting hour. You can catch up and hear again these messages. My, how God's man has preached our hearts this night. Amen. Blessed be his name. Father, thank you. Doesn't seem adequate enough. But till we get a better word, we'll just say thank you. Glory be unto you. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. A reminder of the offering plates. Everything goes in the man of God. Shake hands, you go. See you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, good Lord willing. Amen, Brother Jason. Bless you, buddy.